This podcast was specifically created for Distress and Crisis Ontario organizations and their volunteer responders to provide training and educational assistance on a variety of topics. As information evolves and changes, these podcasts are meant to offer ongoing support with the goal of updating them on an ongoing basis. We thank the volunteer responders and the contributors to this podcast. Please visit our website, dcontario.org, for more information and how to access free mental health services. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Michael Skinner. I'm a clinical counselor at Family Services Appeal. In my present position, I support the LGBT community. I also am a youth specialist, and so I've come today to talk to you about supporting LGBT individuals, creating a positive listening space. I wanted to start off with doing some explanation of terms that I think are very relevant to this presentation. I also want to go into how we can create a positive space for callers. And I also wanted to do supporting LGBT or individuals who are challenged with sexual diversity. And then we go on to some question. My first definition is called positive space. We're talking about if a caller is to call and they say to you, they're talking about that I want to come out. I think I may be gay. And a positive space is you're creating a welcoming space, a positive listening space for the callers on the phone. What you need to do is you need to say, it's okay, I understand. You know, if you need to be silent, if you need to just talk about it, that's fine, I'm here for you. The next definition is heterosexism. We all know what heterosexism, but it's a belief that everyone in our society is heterosexist or straight. It's society, cultural, institution, individual beliefs, practices that assume heterosexuality is the only natural, normal, acceptable sexual orientation. There are alternative ways to live life. And I think when you are volunteer talking to this person on the phone who is expressing, questioning, their ideals of they may be have some issues with sexual diversity, you got to remember that it is an alternative way. There's got to be acceptance when you are on the telephone with them. And acceptance comes from your tone of voice. They can't see your body language, but they can hear you. Tone of voice can be loud or it can be soft and accepting. We want to create a positive environment, positive listening space for our callers. The next one is homophobia. It's an irrational fear and hatred of LGBT people or lesbian, gay, bisexual people. This fear stems from out-of-date information that we've heard in our society through media, through the time of the year when we have Pride in June. All they see are people that are LGBT dancing in the street, having fun, doing whatever. Okay, those are the images. And those images create in our mind the homophobia and the fear. And I think what you need to understand is your silence speaks volumes when you're on the phone. If a caller comes on, it's about respect, acceptance, and it's about a tone of voice that is caring. Biphobia can be defined as a fear or dislike of people who are bisexual. That is, people that they do not identify as straight or gay. They identify as having an emotional attraction to either males or females. When they are in a relationship, the individual, they are with that person. And when they are not in a relationship, they might flip-flop, they might have different ideas about attractions to both sexes. The challenge of bisexual individuals is their relationship is come under challenges by both the straight or the heterosexist community and the gay community. They need to choose. They need to choose whether they're straight or they need to choose whether they are gay. And who tells us that? Society. When do they tell us that? We're born. Society says you've got to be, if you're a girl, you've got to be with a man, and if you're a boy, you've got to be with a girl. But innately, we're bisexual when we are born. It's society with all of the concept, the media influence, that tells us that we got to be either straight or gay. Transphobia. Pretty new concept. It's a prejudice, discrimination of gender-related violence due to negative attitudes towards transgender people. There's many definitions in the trans community that can be defined as transsexual. The whole idea of transsexuality and transgenderism is the people believe that they were born in the body that they are presenting as. So the traditional definition, transgender, is they wear the clothes of the person they want to present or the gender they wish to present. And they refer to themselves as transsexual. The next definition is trans, and these are people who dress in the clothes of the gender they wish to present in, and they're taking hormones. The next one is clothing, hormones, and top surgery. The final one, which is the traditional definition of transsexuality, and I like to use this word, it's the whole hog. Hormone, clothing, top surgery, bottom surgery. Each of the four have discrimination with each other. The next definition is AIDS-phobia. I've got it a lot when I was working on distress lines, the fear of getting HIV and AIDS. Well, we all know today that it is not a death sentence. I think the number one reason people do not want to become gay or be gay is because they have a fear that they're going to catch HIV and AIDS. Well, okay, with proper safe practices in intimate encounters and knowledge, and knowledge is king. The more knowledge you know, the more that these people can be put to ease. I think a lot of this information we already have in our media. So I think you can offer it to the people, but you can also tell them, if it's a tech-savvy young person, they can go online and they can find out stuff and information about AIDS and HIV. Another underlying layer is people's fear, who are heterosexist, and their fear that they don't want to be around people who are LGBT. Why? Because they feel they're going to catch it. They're not going to catch it. That really is a number one thing, especially for gay men. Oh my God, I don't want to be gay because I'm going to get AIDS. Not going to happen if we practice safe practices. Internalization. There is homophobia, biphobia, transphobia. It's a self-hatred of themselves. Isn't that awful? And now they hear the media messages and they are afraid. And they hear, okay, I'm going to get AIDS, so I better not be gay. Oh, I'm going to get bashed if I'm trans. People think that I'm on the fence if I'm bi, so I'm not going to. So they internalize it and they say, I'm not that way. Well, you know what? That can cause a lot of harm to those people. And you are going to be dealing with that on the phone. You need to support them and say, you know what? There's an alternative way. You know, there's resources out there. You can help them realize. And even if they just want to sit there and talk, it's about acceptance. Don't for one second say, if they're gay, are you okay? Everything okay? Treat them a would-be China doll. They're not broken. They're not going to break. They're just dealing with something very difficult in their lives that's a challenge right now. And I think for you to be open, and if you say, you know, I don't understand, help me to understand. That's all I ask of you. I know as a person, when I was coming out at the age of 23, okay, when someone asked, I don't understand, I was okay with that. But it's when someone assumed, and we all know what happens when we assume, you know, if you ask questions, you know, they will want to ask. Everybody innately wants to talk about themselves. What's queer? In my mom and dad's time in the early 60s, what did queer mean? Queer meant odd. It was a word that was reclaimed by the LGBT community to express inclusion. Not all LGBT people are comfortable with reclaiming this word. It is your job on a distress line to re-educate them. It's inclusion. It helps people to understand that we're all a big part of a family. It's your job to be the calming voice. It's your job to say, what they're saying out there, they don't know. It's what you think about yourself. I can help you. Just talking about it and having that person say, well, here's a resource, or I understand, is a good thing. A lot of people are going to be calling up, and they're going to be in fear that that person on the end is going to be silenced. They don't want that. Do you know how many times they might have called before they actually said something? Many, many times. So you just say to them, I'm here. When you're ready to talk, I'm here for you. They got to know that you're supporting them. Positive space is about visibility, validation, challenging heteronormativity, and homophobia. You want to validate them. You want to tell them that there are people who are gay, lesbian, bisexual, trans, that are living successful lives. And there are. It's not unconditional love. It's love. It's acceptance. They might ask you, what's homophobia? Some of them don't even know these terms. It's up to you as somebody who's on a call, who's got a heart, who's a volunteer that want to be able to define what it is. And they might say, oh yeah, you're right. Oh, gee, thanks for telling me, I didn't know. You gotta realize that when they give you these negative disclosures and when anybody discloses, it might increase the stigma of rejection. That caller on the phone, you're silent, you don't know what to say, click. You got to remember that when they're disclosing, and like I've said, this might be the first time they've called, but they might have dialed that number 100 times before they've actually said hello. You got to remember, this is hard for them who are LGBT. This isn't something that they've discussed with family. Oh, I'm going to phone a distress line. This is something that they have called because they need your acceptance. They need a kind heart. Make no assumptions. You make no assumptions about a person's sexuality. I don't particularly define myself as queer. I define myself as a gay male. But you might get someone on the phone who is a young person, 18, 19, who have used that terminology queer. And they define themselves as queer. So the term that I like to use, and we've all heard it, is partner. I understand now why we use it, because it's a generic term, and we want to use that term. It shows, A, you're knowledgeable. You're accepting. You're supporting. You understand that they may be of a certain alternative way of life. Empathize. You want to create an inclusive listening environment. You want to normalize LGBT or homosexuality. LGBT, homosexuality used in a different context. For safety's sake, it's okay to use the word homosexuality, but if you are talking to someone who has expressed to you as a volunteer, I'm gay, don't use the word homosexuality. Because the word homosexuality was a medical term. Use what they do. Provide an ongoing supportive environment. And as volunteers, you want to follow their pace on the phone. You don't want to go, oh, so you're gay? Okay, so I want to give you all these resources and everything. They may not be, they may not even be ready for that. They may just want to listen to talk about their experiences, that they have an emotional attraction to a member of the same sex. If everyone was liked out there and we were all loved and accepted, we wouldn't have the suicides that went on about 2 and 3 years ago. And this may be something that they may be calling you about. I don't know what to do. I'm thinking of doing something drastic. You have to be aware that you're accepting them. You have to make sure you tell them that you want to accept them. We're inclusive. Politically, we've had Bill 13, which is an anti-bullying bill. If you get youth parents calling because A, they may be a victim, and then, or B, a parent may be called and say, my child's being bullied, I don't know what to do. You can give them the strength, the encouragement to say, well, in June, Bill 13 was passed by Premier McGuinty, and you know what? It has to stop. It's also allows for gay straight alliances in schools. No longer are we gonna try and have them called diversity groups, they're gay straight alliances. We have a lot of resources, Facebook, social media, Twitter, all these things, hashtag, whatever it says. But there are some really good likes on Facebook that you can tell kids about. And one of them is LGBT News that gives everything and everything about the LGBT community. And the next one I just absolutely love, and when I think about it, I'm like emotional. It's called Coming Out or Showing Support, where people can actually go on to the Facebook page and give their experiences of coming out. And I was reading it the other day, and there was someone who was 65 years old. We all think it's a young phenomenon. It's not. There are seniors. There are people in their 30s, their 40s that are coming out. So don't assume that if someone calls up and they have kids, well, you got a family already. Be grateful. No, you don't know what the circumstances led up to that. Another one is called Unicorn Booty. But the name sounds, you know, but what it is, it gives more information about the LGBT community. And you can like it. You can search on Facebook. And the Gay Star News is all about certain things that happen in the LGBT community. Everybody's computer savvy these days. If you just give them this, they can go on and they can find, well, gee, that's me. Knowledge is the most powerful thing that we can have in this society. If you know a lot, what can happen is you can help that one person on the phone, and it makes you feel good as a kind-hearted, caring, accepting individual. Wow, I really helped this person. And that's what you want as a volunteer to give to your caller.
So, Michael, I just had a question. How are the isms described differently from others apparent in society?
When we talk about racism, sexism in our society, we wouldn't dare make a comment for fear of the zero tolerance policies in workplaces everywhere. We wouldn't dare. It could be cause for reprimanding that individual. However, when we talk about LGBT issues, it is still the only sort of ism or group that we can make fun of, joke about. It's very apparent in high schools when kids say, that's so gay, okay? Me as a 46-year-old individual, not a big deal if I hear, that's so gay. But if you're walking down the halls and you hear one of your classmates say, that's so gay, what do they think? It's used in a negative connotation to mean awful, stupid, you know, the old connotations come back. So I think it's very apparent that we need to be aware that that is still something that we can still joke about and laugh about, and it is still accepted.
Michael, what if there is a caller calling that they were fired, looking for work? Is there any employment agency resources we can refer them to?
Well, I would like to say that all employment agencies are open, non-discriminational. I do not really know about that, but I'm assuming at Family Services Appeal, we have a site with Employment Ontario and everybody is accepted. And you can tell them about Employment Ontario. You can also tell them that there are equity policies. I'm going to give an example of the TDSB, Toronto District School Board. They do have an equity policy that if a teacher feels that they were harassed or terminated for sexuality issues, that there is recourse. You want an employer that's going to be respected. There is the Human Rights Code, that, as I stated. However, that's very hard to prove because it gets into a whole bunch of who heard it, documentation, everything. So sometimes people just say, oh, I'll move on, because they make it really, really hard for you to go and make a claim unless you've got something to back it up with. I would like to thank you all for coming here today and inviting me to speak about how we can create a positive listening environment for our callers. And I do hope we support and accept who calls about the LGBT issues. Thank you very
Hi,
much.
Hi, I'm Damien, one of the editors of the DCO Learning Forums podcast. Over the past year, we've been busy converting our Learning Forums series of videos into podcasts and thinking of new ways to continue delivering new and more in-depth content. We've seen the demand, and we're announcing our move to Pinecast and our new tip jar function. Please consider going to tips.pinecast.com/jar/distress and crisis Ontario and donating. And in return, we'll be recording new follow-up episodes on some of our most popular topics. These will be accessible for tippers only and will help pay for travel, web hosting, etc. For the interim, you'll still be able to access existing content on both the Pinecast and Fireside feeds for free, but eventually we'll be making the switch to Pinecast. Thank you for your understanding.